Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor read a few moments ago those verses from Paul's letter to the Romans, that first chapter. And I'd like to kind of narrow us down now to one of those verses, specifically the 16th verse. And here I read it again. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to every one who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. You heard the word there, didn't you? The word that I kind of think is pretty exhilarating because it's so inclusive. Everyone, Paul uses, everyone who believes. I don't know if you're like I am, but there are days when I really wonder, am I really included? Everyone. Really? Me? My life? Lord, you know, I don't know. Are there things that keep you from also some days thinking that maybe you're not included in God's plan of salvation? Everyone. Maybe you feel on some days that you've got the wrong family background, or you come from the wrong education, or you speak the wrong language, or you come from the wrong race, or from the wrong culture, or from, how about this one, the wrong moral track record. You know, those closets in your house, you know, that you open up and in there are those skeletons that you don't want anybody else to know about because maybe you're not proud of those things that you've done in your lifetime at times. And so you keep those doors shut and you look, but when you open them, you go, really, Lord, everyone? I'm included in that? You know, I find that what Paul is saying is that there's really only one thing that can rule you out, and that is unbelief. Not trusting in Jesus. But nothing else has to rule you out. Everyone who believes. Everyone. The good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he rose from the dead to open up eternal life to you and to me, and that salvation is by grace and through faith for you and for me, that is for everyone who believes. Not just the Jews, and not just us Gentiles, and no one race or social class or culture, but everyone who believes. So if that's the case, then as we read this verse even a little farther, Paul seems to want to give a priority to the Jews. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. And then he says, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So what does Paul mean here? And as I've studied scripture around this text and some others, I find that Paul really was giving a priority to the Jews. And I find six reasons that Paul would use to have listed the Jews first in his text here, in this verse of 1:16 from Romans, and why he would put the Jews first and then the Gentiles second. These six, let me suggest to you what they are. First of all, and foremost, the Jews are still God's chosen people. Nothing changes. Not their lack of faith and understanding Yeshua as the Messiah. Nothing changes because God freely chose the Jews to be his chosen people. And so we find that he chose them from Abraham and all his descendants later. And he did that freely. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, the writer puts it this way. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers. So firstly, they are still his chosen people. But a second reason why Paul would have given the priority for the Jews over the Gentiles is because even till today, they are still the guardians of God's special revelation, the Old Testament scriptures. God has continued to put them over those scriptures to be their guardians, to be its guardian. God gave a special revelation and promises to Israel by Moses and the prophets. And Paul in Romans 9 puts it like this. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. A third reason why the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that the Messiah himself, Jesus Christ, came first as a Jew to the Jews. Jesus focused his earthly ministry on the Jews. They had a priority in his work. So why wouldn't they have a priority in Paul's writing to say everyone who believes to the Jew first? Jesus says it this way in Matthew chapter 15. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So during the earthly life of Jesus, Jesus was focused on the Jews. They had a priority in his ministry. A fourth reason the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles is that salvation is from the Jews. Think about that for a moment, would you? Your salvation, your eternal salvation, comes to you via the Jews. These are the very words of Jesus in John chapter 4, where Jesus is speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus says, "You worship what you do not know. We, the Jews, worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews." So why wouldn't we want to be sharing Jesus with the Jews first? Paul, in his fifth reason why the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles, is he says that they have it in both final judgment and in final blessing. In the second chapter of Romans, Paul says amazingly these words, "There will be tribulation and distress for every human being who does evil, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first, and also the Gentile." In other words, the priority that the Jews have, if they reject that priority and squander the faith that they're to have in their Messiah, it will result in their judgment first. However, if they are grateful for their priority and they trust in the mercy of their Messiah, then they will go first into the final blessing of God before the Gentiles. And a sixth reason that I find in my reading of Scripture is the Jews have a priority over the Gentiles because Paul, everywhere he went, first would bring the gospel to the Jews, wherever they went. You can find examples in Acts all over the place where Paul and Barnabas would pull into a new town and they would first go to the synagogue to witness Yeshua as the Messiah. And we find in Acts 13 this example where they are preaching in Antioch of Pisidia and the Jews just won't listen to the gospel presentation of Paul and Barnabas. So they say, "It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, the Jews, but since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning our attention to the Gentiles." In other words, in these six priorities, we say just as God chose Israel and revealed himself to Israel and sent the Messiah and Savior to Israel so that salvation is from Israel, so that says to us, Israel should and must become a mission field, a place to go and share Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus as the Messiah, to those, the Jewish people, God's chosen people. I'll come back to that in just a moment, but before I do, I want to also share that in my study of this scripture, of these scriptures, I found not only these six priorities that the Jews have over the Gentiles, but there are three other things in which Jews and Gentiles are kind of on an equal footing, where the Jews do not have a priority over the Gentiles. And the first one is that both the Jews and the Gentiles have no priority over each other in righteousness or merit. We are all on the same footing. And this is one of the main points of the first three chapters of Romans. Paul concludes in Romans chapter 3, where he writes, "What then? Are we Jews any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Gentiles, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one." And then a couple of verses later, he says it this way, "For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." A second way in which we're kind of on an equal footing with Jewish people is that how we are saved. The Jews do not have a priority in their salvation, nor do we as Gentiles. We are all saved in the same way. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, "For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So neither Jews nor Gentiles have a priority in how they will be saved. It is done in the same way, by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ, not by any ethnic or religious distinctives that we as Gentiles or Jews may have. And finally, the third way in which there are no priorities between Jews and Gentiles is that we both participate in God's covenant blessings. The mystery of the gospel that Paul preaches to us, he says, is that Gentiles are now full partners in the blessings of Jewish salvation. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, "When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. And this mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel." And so what God has done here is he has grafted you and me as Gentiles into his plan of salvation. We have the same salvation that he has promised to his chosen people, the Jews. So then why would Paul say to the Jew first and then to the Gentile? Well, if you continue reading in Romans towards the end, in Romans chapter 11, you can see and hear and read the foundation of that answer. Paul wanted to make both Jew and Gentile deeply aware that they are dependent upon God for mercy, not on themselves, not on their traditions, not on their ethnic connections, but rather it's God's mercy that you receive by grace and through faith. For Jews, it's God's mercy that they receive by grace and through faith. So Paul says to the Jews, your salvation is not your own. It is God's, and he gives it to whom he pleases. You see, God can raise up, Paul says, stones, even Gentile stones, to be children of Abraham. The words, though, also to the Gentile in Romans 1:16, would have been as offensive to the Jews as the words to the Jew first were to the Gentiles. So why would Paul want to upset both groups? You see, what they thought were Jewish prerogatives are in fact shared by the lowliest Gentiles who believe. Both of us, Jews and Gentiles, Paul is attempting to humble us, to help us understand that even though God chose us as Jews, it doesn't mean that we have something special over everybody else, that we all have salvation in the same way. And to the Gentiles, Paul says, in essence, salvation is of the Jews. Your salvation is coming from the Jewish people. You are not being saved by your Greek culture or your German culture or your American culture or any other culture. You are being saved by a salvation that comes through the people called the Jews. In Romans 11, Paul says these words, "Remember, it is not you who support the root." He's speaking that to the Gentiles, and the root here is in reference to the Jews. "Remember, it is not you, the Gentiles, who support the root, the Jews, but the root, the Jews, who support you, the Gentiles." That's what Paul was trying to say. You see, we Gentiles are saved by becoming, as it were, spiritual Jews. And this should humble us. And this should strip us, truthfully, of any ill feelings or arrogance or anti-Semitic feelings that any of us would have towards Jewish people. Because we are who we are, and we have our faith and salvation because of them. It should defeat that anti-Semitism that we hear and see all the time in our country and countries around the world. And it should fill us with a zeal for evangelism to the Jews here in the USA and around the world, and especially today in the land of Israel, the Holy Land, the land of Jesus. So as I said earlier, Israel must become a mission outreach today. And after 170 plus years in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that day has finally come. Through the mission efforts of the Apple of His Eye Mission Society, a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Israel is now a new and a historic mission field. And the apple of his eye intends to boldly declare Yeshua as the Messiah and urgently equip all believers in Jesus to do the same, so that the Jews in Israel hear first of their Messiah and the good news of his salvation. And I am privileged today and humbled to stand before you at the invitation of your pastors to be here to let you know that my wife, Christy, and I are going to be the first missionaries to Israel to serve there on your behalf, sharing Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus as the Messiah. And we would like to invite you today to consider serving with us. Here's how we would encourage you to do that. In your worship folder today, you found a little insert called Pray For Us. And in that insert, you will see on the front page a little bit about who we are, where we're going, what we're going to be doing, a picture of us. And underneath that picture is a little box that has a couple of prayers right here in this box here. We would ask you to remember us in your prayers. We are held up and sustained by the prayers of God's people here and other places. And we would ask you not to forget us, to keep us in those prayers. A second way you could help us is that if you would like, on the back side are ways in which you could support us. A one-time gift, a sustainable gift that comes monthly or yearly, quarterly, however you'd like to do that. We need your support. We as missionaries today must raise our own support. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod does not give support to missionaries any longer. They are asked to go out and raise their own support. And so we here would love to partner with you in any way we could to have your support, as Pastor Doug's church did for us when we were back in Africa and in Liberia. So that's a second way, and there is an envelope here to get you started if you would choose to do so. And a third way, and that's not anywhere there, but it would be the way that I would just like to invite you to come. And sometimes when I invite people to come and join us and to come into the Holy Land, I get these big eyes like, whoa, you got to be kidding me. But we would show you the sights, we'd show you the regular things that people go to the Holy Land to see, but also we guarantee that you'd have some time to work with us in sharing your faith in Yeshua as the Messiah. So come, think about it, pray about it, contact us, and come and visit us. And now I ask you to pray with me. Thank you, Lord, for opening up the Scriptures to us today and sharing your plan of salvation for Jewish and Gentile people. Thank you that your plan is a plan of grace for everyone who believes. Amen.